Haymaker Coffee Company was established in 2021 to create the best coffee to fuel the underdogs who perseveres, who hustles, and have the give-it-all mentality to achieve their American dream. Haymaker Coffee only roasts top quality, specialty-grade coffee beans, resulting in brews that satisfies those who demand every drop from their coffee and day. If you work hard, run hard, fight hard, and play hard, we have your coffee right here. And we're back, Striped Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Thank you. Let me just start with this. Yesterday, one of our biggest days here on the Striped Show podcast, we appreciate the support. Eddie Pepperall, DP World Tour player, two-time winner, very active on Twitter, and has a lot to say about all things golf, but in particularly where we're at in the landscape of professional golf. Love talking to Eddie. He's been on before. Really a funny guy. Really a smart guy. Well thought out. Articulates extremely well. I thought one of the better podcasts that we've had, and the numbers show it. We appreciate it. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. I think it's very insightful from someone who's on the DP World Tour, not the PGA Tour, and to get the perspective over there in Europe on really the impact of LIV Golf, all the way back to when it started and when LIV Golf approached the DP World Tour to go into business together, and what that looked like. I've always thought from a DP World Tour perspective, if they were interested in being the main competitor to the PGA Tour, that would have been the opportunity, certainly, to do it with that influx of money. But I don't think the deal was great. Eddie spoke to that. And, you know, here we are. They went on and did some other things. The DP World Tour then improved or strengthened its strategic alliance with the PGA Tour. And here we are. So many moving parts. We get the perspective here on the Striped Show podcast, of course, from so many analysts, from players on the PGA Tour. But one of the things that we're starting to do now is really is get over there on the DP World Tour. We've got more coming. I think it's a voice that needs to be heard. So I'm excited about that. Striped Show podcast today brought to you by About Golf Simulator. Let me move my big fat head. Look at that picture in the back in the simulator. Can you recognize that? All the way in the distance. That's Harbor Town. Of course, that's in South Carolina. I'm going to be playing a little golf this afternoon, I think, on Harbor Town. South Carolina is relevant this week because we go to the CJ Cup, Congaree CJ Cup. Did I say cop? CJ Cup? It's the CJ Cup Congaree, another limited field, 78, and it's a doozy. We have got some great players here this week. Really excited to break that down with our guests joining us here momentarily. Ryan Noonan with BetSpurt, a guy that I really enjoy talking to on Insight as we get into this terrific field to give you our winners. You're going to want to pay attention this week, folks, because the last time the tournament was at Congaree, your boy right here picked the winner. Garrick, hip, hip, hey, go! 70-1, we hit that one. And I don't know if you remember the end of that finish. Chesson Hadley, I think it was like a one or two shot lead coming down the stretch, just leaked oil all the way down the stretch. Garrick was already in the clubhouse. He came over from the DP World Tour, had a couple wins, young age, lefty, had these big sunglasses, looked like a mosquito, his eyes with these sunglasses on. And he was so impressive. I remember watching, like, man, this kid is special. And he came over here and I thought this course would be kind of interesting for him. So he was my one pick on another show that I did. And I really hyped him up and he hit. So if every week could be like that, my goodness, I wouldn't have to have a day job. And well, we'd all be winning, right? Because you'd be taking those picks and we'd be hitting 70-1 every week. But that's not the case. As we know on the PGA Tour, long shots have been hard to hit. I mean, it's been the chalk for the most part. Although Keegan Bradley made some people some money last week. Good to see him get back in the winner's circle last week. Keegan Bradley, of course, no one impacted more from the ban of the belly putter. Had to really, you know, relearn how to putt. And he's certainly done that. Terrific ball striker. Really cool to see the perseverance of Keegan Bradley pay off, get back to the winner's circle. That had to be very emotional for him. Brooks Koepka wins on the LIV Tour. A little emotional for Brooks. Good to see. Perhaps, you know, LIV Golf could be good for Brooks. Kind of, you know, humble him just a little bit more. Bring him back down to reality. And it was, look, you know, the LIV Golf, however you feel about that, however you feel about Brooks, you know, he's battled through some injury. Again, perseverance, hard work, gets back into the winner's circle. So you got to tip your cap to Brooks Koepka as well. They'll finish up their LIV series, tour, however you want to call it. They'll be in Miami, not this week, but next week to finish things off in a team competition, it sounds like. So we'll have to pay attention to that. But this week, it's all things CJ Cup. Before we bring Ryan in, tomorrow we will be into our second week of our ViStar moment. My new sponsor, ViStar Credit Union. Please go and nominate a veteran today. It's part of the hashtag Honor Your Hero in conjunction with ViStar Credit Union. You can go to my website, click on the partners, click on learn more, and then you'll see the link right there. Hashtag Honor Your Hero. Click that link and honor a veteran that you know today that deserves it. So many cool prizes, folks, are going to be going out. I can't encourage you enough to do this. I'm putting it on my link in Instagram as well. You can click on that and go and nominate your veteran today. Hashtag Honor Your Hero. We will be showcasing one of those tomorrow. We're going to be doing it every single week for the rest of the year. So I look forward to week two with ViStar Credit Union next week. And on that note, let's get into it. The CJ Cup. Let's bring him in. Ryan Noonan. All right. Joining us now. There he is with BetSperts. Ryan Noonan, 4-for-4 in the backdrop. I like that backdrop. I know you guys do a lot of football content too. We were just talking baseball before we came on, and now we're ready to talk golf. I mean, before we get to golf, I mean, how's it going so far with your stuff in football?
Good. Yeah. So BetSperts is our parent company that purchased us last year. BetSperts, a great place, an app. You want to track all your bets, lots of other great information and content there as well. But yeah, 4-for-4, been around for a long time. And yeah, I do run our betting leg over there. And it's the best time of year to bet on football. Love absolutely getting into the streets on the prop side, because I think that's really kind of where our edge is. I mean, handicapping sides and totals in the NFL, Travis, is like, if you got something that could beat the sharpest market in the game, other than like beating closing line value, which I try to do in look ahead lines and stuff like that, like it's just really hard to do. So, you know, projecting player performance on the prop side is something that we try to specialize in. Spent a lot of time this year trying to handicap tackle props because no one's doing that. And it's a really soft market. I don't think the books have a good feel for it. So you can, I think there's just a lot of ways to find some soft numbers there, which is really hard to do even in like the typical offensive side of player props. So I've had some really good success there and going to continue to beat that drum every week. So yeah, 444.com, promo code Noonan will get you 25% off if you're looking to bet football.
Yeah. Check it out. You guys do a great job there. And if there's anything you can do to get Russell Wilson off of primetime, that would be helpful as well. And of course, I might be a little biased as a Seahawks fan, but.
Well, you like it. You're getting all these, you know, they keep, crap in the bed, and you keep stacking up all these fantastic draft picks and draft capital to rebuild your team on the fly. It's going pretty well for you.
You just keep on riding, Russ, the way you are. You just keep on riding the way you are, and everything's going to be just fine here in the rebuild for us in Seattle. Anyhow, let's get to the CJ Cup, Congaree Golf Club. You know, there's like, imagine in your head that there's this place that's called the middle of nowhere, right? And it's, you just look around and you're like, where the hell am I? That's where Congaree is. It's right in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina, but it's a cool place. I have some people that I teach here in Florida that actually go up there and play. And everybody that goes up there really raves about the golf course. It's a very cool place once you actually get there. The CJ Cup, of course, is there. They've played Congaree before, and we had a little success there. We actually hit Garrick Higgo at 70-1. Although I do think Higgo is a little bit different player right now and this time around. I actually watched him out in Vegas on the range quite a bit, and some of the things that he's working on. He seems to be a little bit different player being on the States now for over a year. We'll get to that later on. But Congaree, Ryan, I mean, this is a big track. You know, this is can be a big boy golf course. I think we're in a situation here where we got to look at some distance, you know, who can get it out there off the tee. Obviously approach is going to be key. But we're not going to be getting into this mid-20s, you know, 23, 24, like we've been seeing
right
in the past under par. Tell us a little bit about this place, some of the numbers that you're looking at that you think will be important this week.
It is such a unique track. I remember it too, because it stood out. They couldn't play for COVID reasons, the Canadian Open. So we had the 1 year of Congaree, and it was a unique field. And again, that was a full field cut event. Whereas this week we have a loaded no cut 78 fields, similar to what we had in the Zozo, but even stronger the field. We have, I think, 15 of the top 20 in the world here. So a pretty loaded field. But as you mentioned, like, you can land a plane on these fairways, but there's no rough. We are dealing with like this 130 acres of like sand belts, Australian style golf, where you have like some of this like long fescue that comes into play at times, a lot of like random weird flyers. Actually, Ron Kloss, PGA Splits, who does our extensive course preview, embedded a YouTube video that was basically like titled Golf is Hard. And it was just basically a bunch of wayward shots from the Palmetto a couple of years ago. So like just some stuff that was just really unique to anything that we see anywhere else. I'm curious to see how it plays in October versus June as well. But I know it's designed to be, you know, just firm and fast. We're dealing with it, like you said, it's long. So I think driver off the tee, and yeah, there's a lot of dog legs, but it's not tree lined Parkland style like we saw with Zozo, or we typically see, you know, in a lot of other places, even other South Carolina courses, when you think of like Harbortown or things like that. It is still pretty open. So when you have the length off the tee, you can decide if you want to take these shortcuts, but because it is so firm and fast, you can roll yourself right through these fairways into some of these, you know, just sandbelt areas too. Tricky green complexes too that are big. We're also left with the fact that you're going to have a pretty large plurality of shots from 200 plus on approach. So we need guys that are not just long, but really good with their long irons. And because we're going to have that too, it's really hard to be close from a proximity standpoint. So I think three putt avoidance is something that I want to weight heavily this week too, because you're not, like you said, we're not getting into the low 20s. You're going to have, you know, just really good lag putting to, you know, kind of stay away from these crooked numbers. So those are some of the things that I'm weighing more heavily this week than not. I just think it's a really great aesthetic golf course to watch because it is so different than everything else that we see.
Yeah, this is an interesting place. There's no question about it. And you can get some birdies going out. Then it starts to toughen up a little bit. The three par fives, of course, par 71. I think you're going to have to take care of the par fives, right? And strokes gain par five metric, I think, will have some value here. But I think you hit on a couple things there. One, yes, it is a long course, but I do think this course will play much quicker this year. Firm and fast up there in South Carolina. I think they probably have the course more the way they envision it playing this year versus back in the summer, like you mentioned. So I'm curious to see that. So look, when the fairways are running out, you can get someone who's not as long chasing it out. And it's certainly going to make those fairways play a little bit smaller, although there is no rough, but you can get into some trouble.
Yeah,
I do think he probably got to elevate the short game a little bit here as well. I can remember the up and down that Higo made on the last hole. It was really an impressive up and down to keep the heat on Chesson Hadley, who was just leaking oil down the stretch. And I love Chesson Hadley, super nice guy. But I was like, Hadley, you got to make one more bogey here for me, you know, coming down. You can't do one more bogey because we got some cheese on our boy Higo, and we got to get that first win. So, all right, let's get into it here. Let's give our folks some yay and nay and who we like. No surprise, Mr. McIlroy, almost a guaranteed top 10 anymore at plus 650. Rahm at 9, coming off a little win, even though it wasn't a great field over in Spain. Winning feels good, gets the vibes going. Scheffler at 11, Homa 16, JT 16, all these familiar names. Fitzpatrick 18. Let's stop there. On these short odds, look, I know it was a small, I know it wasn't a great field for Rahm, but at some point Rahm's going to show up and man, dominate with the driver, dominate the par fives. Give me that 200 plus range. You know, that's important here. I'll give you Rahm in the short odds from my perspective.
Yes, this is so hard, right? So I think there's a few things that make this handicapping this event harder than normal. And we're in our typical groove, like when you and I have talked a couple of times, we're in the normal season. We have form. We've seen these guys play a lot. And there are a handful of guys that not only played last week, but some other guys that have been playing on the Euro Tour, which is tough. So we have scattered mm-hmm. form, right? These guys just aren't in the typical groove. And then now we have a loaded field, no cut events to add another dynamic to it as well. We had it obviously last week with the Zozo field, not quite as strong as we see this week. So like some of the reasons that you can tell yourself a story to like back or to cross guys off is a little bit harder because some of them are all dealing with the same stuff. We just haven't seen a lot of them. Yep. President's Cup, like how do you weight all the dynamics that come into a President's Cup with the guy's form and how he's played? It's really hard to weight that stuff. So like Rahm, you mentioned like, he won. It was a weak field event. It was the same thing with Mexico, right? Like, we don't want to give him any credit for Mexico, but imagine if he didn't win that, where he was like 3-1 to open. Well, at least he went out and did it and won the, you know, fields that we think he's supposed to. So, yeah, like telling yourself that Rahm, who probably shouldn't be, you know, 9 or 10 when Rory is at like 6.5, makes a ton of sense. Same reason you can get me on Scotty, because should Scotty be twice as long as Rory, as good as Rory's played? Probably not. So it's hard for me to go to the tippy top of the board just for those reasons, because I think that the strength of the field is so strong. There's a lot of guys here in like the 20 to 30 bucket that I think can and probably will be in the mix here. Makes it harder for me to go down the board too. We'll get to some guys, but like, you know, some of these guys that are down in like 80 to 100, can they really put together four rounds over this quality of fields? I think that that's going to be really hard. So,
yep.
You'd like to see that Rahm won, and I think he can carry that over, because I do think last year, when we look at historically, that'll kind of be an outlier of a year for Rahm. I think we'll see more of the Rahm that we've seen historically, top fives and actual trophies on Sunday.
Yeah, and he's engaged. All this talk about LIV, I mean, I think it matters. I mean, I think these guys are engaged and with this. So, you know, with the, here's the thing with Rahm, and I talked about all year. I didn't see him losing his short game the way that he did. I think then it kind of crept into his putting. And when that starts to happen, then things start to kind of snowball a little bit. His driver still has been great. You know, the Tour Championship, he didn't hit the ball good at all. But I think leading up to that, we started to see a little more of John Rahm type of stuff. I think his iron game started to get a little sharper. I think his putting was showing a pulse. His short game looked a little better. You know, he was fifth at the FedEx, eighth at BMW, and then he really didn't play that well at the Tour Championship, although he putted well. So the putter, to me, has kind of woken back up. His short game looks like, okay, he's starting to be a little more of himself. I don't worry about the driver with John Rahm. So he's just too damn good of a player to continue to play like he did most of last year. To your point, he won Mexico, which he was clearly the class, over in Spain recently, clearly the class. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, at some point it's going to turn. I'm starting to see some signs in the areas that he was struggling with. Now, I think probably of that group, Max Homa, who has been playing some and has improved in really every part of his game. We had his coach, Mark Blackburn, on last week, really talked about all of the things that he's done to improve his game. Is Homa ready to be now that upper echelon superstar? He's got to show it in major championships. But I wouldn't be surprised really in a place like this. Look, Homa's gotten, he's long enough. We know the iron game's there. We know he can putt. Short game's improved. Wouldn't be surprised to see him. I'll come down a little bit more to Fitzpatrick. This feels like a good place for Fitz, doesn't it? 18-1 to kind of resurface here. I think for me, Rahm at 9, Fitz at 18 in the short odds are probably where I'm leaning. Would you add a Sungjae, Spieth, Lowry, any of those getting into the 22-1s?
Yeah, I like, so like this feels like a spot where, because we have some of the, such a unique course, right? We have like some of the, you know, the sand, we talked about the sand belt stuff. When you think historically about just who has the magic beans, and right, and like the stuff that you'd be like, oh yeah, who's going to find their way out of these long fescues, and who's going to actually stick themselves within 5 feet, you know, from 175 yards out off of this sand. It's Jordan. Like, these are things that Spieth just does. And that's actually kind of been what Fitz had done over the last handful of years until this massive gains in distance off the tee that we've seen from him. So both of those guys make a ton of sense. Again, like three putt avoidance, they're in, you know, tremendous lag putters where they're going to, you know, make some bombs, but they're also going to leave themselves, you know, within that little makeable 5 foot range when they have a 75 footer, which a lot of the field can't do. But you know who else can do that? Is Max Homa.
Yeah.
I am 100% on Max. There's 31s out there. There are high 20s. I know DraftKings has him in that class, as you said, you know, that under 20 field. And like, I don't know, Max is just a guy, and it's easy to go back to your guys when they've won for you. And like, Max has won for me a couple times, but like you mentioned, he had his best season in every strokes gain metric last year ever. He improved across the board. He's elite from the 200 yard plus proximity, which I think is going to matter a lot this week. Sometimes the total driving is great. Like, he's above average in distance and he can get really hot. When you think of like Potomac, what you have to do to win at Potomac, what you have to do to win at Riv, you know, he's shown that he can win on some of these big boy golf courses. And I think that this probably is that, at least more so than some of these other swing season courses. I think there is something to feeling like you belong and you're one of those guys when you've been in the room at the President's Cup with these guys, right? Like, he belongs now in a different way than maybe he did last season.
Yeah.
And there's a tremendous lag putter. So like, I don't know, there's no reason for me to not continue to go back. He's continued in the swing season, defended the championship at Fournette, you know, T20 at Sanderson, rolled that into President's Cup and played tremendous golf. So yeah, I love Max. You know, there's, I think, a couple of guys in this range. I didn't get on Fitz or Jordan, but man, I'm no problem if someone wants to tell me that like those guys are their plays this week, because there's just the things that I think are going to populate here that kind of show up. Like, these are the guys that kind of scramble themselves out more times than not. And it doesn't always pop up in any statistical modeling, but we've just seen it so many times that we have to give them credit for that skill.
I love Spieth here. We're just getting down to it here at 22. I think this is a good spot for Jordan Spieth. I mean, big wide open fairways, running, imagination, get out of trouble when you need to, need some short game, lag putting. This feels like Jordan Spieth, 5-0 at the President's Cup. I might have to just go, I might have to unload some more on Spieth. This feels like it's bubbling up here, that he could win. The only thing with Homa that probably needs still a little work is bunker play. That's probably his only weakness. You worry maybe about that a little bit here at this place. But man, the rest of it is so good. You know, it's gonna be interesting with Fitzpatrick. You talk about taking care of the par fives. He's probably not the first name that comes to mind, but he is. Like, he should be, because he's number one in the last strokes gained par five. It's the last 50 rounds, I believe, even longer than that. I mean, this added distance. I mean, this guy's starting to take advantage of this, these big wide fairways. It'd be interesting to see if he can kind of crack through that governor a little bit more. I'm kind of following that process along and what he's been doing there, from a speed standpoint. And I think he might be just kind of scratching the surface. I think there's even more to be had here with Fitz off the tee, and getting even longer. Let's see if he can kind of just unleash it and let it go even more there. But he's a terrific bunker player. We know his putting is good. I would say decent short game player, relatively speaking, and he's going to make it happen off the tee. So I tend to, you know, I don't know if I'll play Rom. He's just my guy, you know, that if I had to pick in the short odds, I really think Fitz and Spieth for me, as we start getting into this 22, is probably where I'm going to land for sure. And then you got to make the decision on Tom Kim at 28. Can he keep it going? I mean, I think the most impressive thing with Tom Kim that's transferring here for me is two things. One is he's demonstrating he is an elite iron player, like the approach game. He's elite. And then the second thing is situationally, he's really good. And he is, like, you put him in the moment and he elevates.
Yep.
So, you know, you can do those two things in professional golf. He's not that long, you know, relatively speaking to some of these bigger hitters, but the kid is terrific with his irons. We know he's got the rest of the game, but situationally, hey, Tom, we got to get something going here. Let's go. Off he goes. You just kind of get that feeling he could flip the switch. He's not, I don't want to compare him to Tiger, you know, where, I mean, Tiger was Tiger, but you know, like when Tiger was like, man, he's kind of laboring around. He needs to make some birdies. All of a sudden he'd roll off five straight. He's like, how the hell that just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and Tom can make double in the first hole and then, you know, go out there and make 7-8 birdies coming in. So he's special. We know that. But a third win under the age of 21. Is that what we're talking about? Can Mr. Kim get it done again?
I think you made some good points that I think is really hard for people that do what we do at times to like try to tell themselves stories. And some of that stuff will be like, oh, you know, I get you're into like statistical modeling or projecting, and like, you know, no one wants to give any credit to any of those things that'll be narrative driven. At the end of the day, if you've played competitive sports or you played this game, it just is different. These things do matter. And like, Tom Kim seems to be a guy that will elevate in the moment and doesn't feel too big. And sometimes maybe it's just like, you know, he's too young to feel pressure. He just hasn't felt it yet. He's just, hey, I'm going to go on here and play golf and compete. And 26 in this field, 28 in this field is a little short for me on Tom Kim when I think like some of the other guys that mm-hmm. I like that are right around there. But again, like, he was on my short list, just like, you know, not going to Fitz and not going to Jordan or the guys that I'm regretting this week, because I think that they're fantastic plays. So Tom Kim is a stay away for me in this loaded field. But yeah, I mean, I think to your bigger picture, I think what we're seeing from him is real. I think he's going to be impactful. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some courses that are just like, man, he is going to paint fairways off the tee, get dialed in on approach, and is going to, you know, profile really well putting. He's gonna find the winner's circle. But like at the end of the day, we did this with Scotty, right? I know Scotty's not 20, but like Scotty can't win at the Masters. He's just won three times in the last 5 weeks. And like, no, like this doesn't matter. We saw it a lot last year where like guys strung together these multiple wins, or you know, just we always want form. Mm-hmm. We don't want form when they win. What, you've already got your forms out of the way. I want you to have come in seconds. We hear this a lot, like, you know, anything in golf, like, oh no, we can't go back to the well. He just won. I'd rather have this guy that's strung together right. A couple of top fives. And it's like,
right.
No, he won. Why can't we go back to the well with a mm-hmm. winner? And I know sometimes that like means we're getting a worse price in the market, but like, that's the best form. That means he closed on Sunday. That's even better than the form that we're looking for on like Lowry was so close so many times. And Fitzy was so close until Boston. And it's like, it doesn't mean that those guys can't do it, but like we want them to be able to close. So we've seen him close. The moment wasn't too big of the President's Cup. I have no problem going back to the well on Tom Kim if that's how you kind of feel this board up.
Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt Scotch whiskey, is expertly crafted and made with extraordinary care. Each single malt is a work of perfection.
I think this next group is you can kind of point out some things that might concern you. Like Sam Burns doesn't feel like the best version of himself right now, 28. Morikawa's putter, holy smokes, 28-1, right? Cameron Young, all right, 28-1. Hovland's short game hasn't been what he probably hopes at 28. Hatton, not his best version right now, 35. Like, if you had to pick a name of, okay, this guy, because one of the things that I like to try to do is, okay, it's gonna break eventually. And we've seen it with Morikawa where -2 putting, -3 putting, -6 putting, +5 putting, right? All of a sudden, boom. And when the putter turns for Morikawa, there he is on the first page of the leaderboard, and he's tough to beat. I just, you know, it's coming. He hasn't played a lot. That concerns me a little bit. And I think he admitted that too. I think he actually talked about not playing a ton.
He did.
But all right, you can chase it out there off the tee. Let's be precise with the irons. I don't have to get it to 20 under. I don't know. It feels like, man, you're going to give me these odds of Morikawa too. Like I got a bite, don't I? And Morikawa in that group, or do you got like someone else?
I took two shots in this group. I can get there on Morikawa. Last week he had said he hadn't been playing, and then had a nice, I think round three, he popped at the Zozo and started to play well. Didn't close really well.
Weekend, I believe. Yeah.
Pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
I also like what we saw from Victor Hovland, and okay. I understand the short game piece, right? But I do think that this is kind of a unique short game track because of like the runoffs, where we aren't going to have your standard like collar type around the green stuff, which he's kind of struggles at. We have some of the stuff that maybe profiles even similar to like the really short runoffs that we saw at St. Andrews, and he played really well there. And there was kind of a turning point where he missed the cut at yeah. the Scottish. And then since then, he's really got it going and finished in the T20 there. I think once at the top five, and then he's T20 in five of his last seven starts, starting with the Open. And then three of those are inside the top five, including last week at the Zozo. So if we think that tee to green, or really just ball striking in general, is going to matter here, he can be so good sometimes that the around the green stuff matters a little bit less because he's just so dynamic. Mm-hmm. Off the tee and with his approach stuff. So I feel really good. Like he's turned a corner a little bit here. So I fired on him. I like the form. You know, I don't know. I talked with Pat Mayo about this a little bit. Like, do you worry a little bit about like going from Japan to South Carolina? Like we're not even going from Japan to like California. We're going from Japan. Again, these guys are flying private.
Yeah.
You know, Hovland's 23 years old, you know, but he's not in his 40s. Like I am, like that would kick my butt. But like, he's fine. So I don't worry about that. Does you give that any weight at all?
I don't really worry about that too much at all.
I hear that in the space sometimes. So I was curious. We hadn't talked about that ever. Like these guys are going from, you know, different time zones and a pretty long flight, but I don't care about that either. He's playing good golf. And I think he's kind of similar to Rahm, right? I think we maybe thought last year that what we thought 2022 was going to be for Rahm, what we thought 2022 was going to be for Hovland looked very different. Mm-hmm. But these are just young guys where the bankable skill set I want to continue to buy on, and you know, getting these guys with that upper echelon skill set in the 20s, 28 on Hovland, I think is a good price.
I think he may have talked me into it. I tend to agree now. And looking a little deeper here, if you can kind of get past a little bit of the short game, he is trending the right way, which really in the calendar year has been a fairly disappointing season for Victor. So
yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think that you could certainly add him. Right now he's at 28. Of course, you can look around, but Morikawa, Hovland right in there, those two caliber of players, you know, you could sign me up. I do think in a bigger sample size and in the best version of that we've seen from Tyrrell Hatton, I do think this would be a good place for him. It's just, where is Hatton right now with his game? But I do think he, you know, look, Garrick's was a European player, right? Could have a little this firm and fast European look out there. You know, Hatton's skill set, I do think his best version would fit here pretty well. I'm just worried about form with him. Then you get into Matsuyama at 40. Keegan probably will be tired. Keegan probably celebrated.
He probably did.
He should have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He deserves it at 45. And he should write a letter to the USGA too after that celebration, because they pretty much almost robbed him of his career when they banned the belly putter. Billy Horschel at 45. I'm sure Aaron Wise will get some play at 45. And then the new best putter on tour, Taylor Montgomery at 45. That dude can putt, man.
He can putt, man.
Holy crap, can he putt.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few in this range that make some sense to me. Hatton's a guy, like, again, this is all conjecture, but when you think about some of the lies that these guys are going to get, who's going to get really pissed at getting an unfair lie and just kind of losing his mind at some point? Like, there's going to be a couple times where like Hatton walks up and he thinks he striped it down the fairway and it ran off and he's just in the fescue and he's going to hustle one, you know, just 45 degree angle left and is going to unravel. That's the story I've told myself with Hatton, because I think that we see that at times. Like, saw him lose his temper a little bit. Again, narrative driven. There's a lot that profiles well here, but again, loaded small fields. I have to find reasons to cross guys off. I'm going to wait and see, you know, maybe get Hatton on a different track. Well, a guy you talked about earlier that I went to, Sammy Burns.
Okay.
It's a little bit harder because you're right. We haven't seen a top 10 since Canada. He hasn't been playing great, but driving is going to matter. Three putt avoidance is going to matter. We're back in the Southeast on Bermuda grass, played okay at the President's Cup. I think that I would have loved to get something a little bit longer, but Burns again is a guy that I like to go to. And I think everything that kind of matters here, he does well. And I don't want to get kind of prisoner of the moment on some of the short-term form stuff. I think he still kind of belongs in that field, in that group. So you know, just getting back to the Southeast where he's comfortable, I think is a good look. So I went to Sammy Burns with Hovland at 28. But again, you made a case for Morikawa makes sense. Tom Kim in this range. There are a lot of guys that this is the range to shoot for, in my opinion. You know, we can put Sugar Shane Lowry in that mix too, because I don't feel that they're that much different than the top guys. We're, you know, basically getting 3-4x of the number that we're paying for the Rahms and Rorys of the world.
I think I saw a video of Lowry doing like some squats and stuff in the hotel gym. Like, whoa.
To pick up a Guinness or like
big guy. So take some weight off there though. Careful. Don't hurt that back or anything. I mean, I think to that European eye, this could be, you know, a good looking place for some of these guys. Interesting. I took a really wide scope last 100 rounds and I added in some of these things we've been talking about. So strokes gained, par fives, obviously waiting in approach, moving up, waiting in off the tee, a little bit around the green, a little bit of putting. 200 plus, three putt avoidance, driving distance, sand save. So just some of these things that we've been talking about. And I loaded it in and I took a big wide look. Of course, you got your JTs, Rory, Scheffler, Rahm. And we know these guys show up on all this stuff and that they're just that great. But then you get into, okay, so there's Sungjae, right? And then there's Vic. You know, so Vic right there comes in at 6. Lowry, 7. Hatton, 8. That's kind of what I was saying with Hatton. Like, I think if you go wide, like this place, I think is going to look pretty good to him. I'm going to talk myself into Lowry and Hatton. I think I'm going to talk myself into this like European thing for some reason. And then
yeah, I like
Burns,
it.
Burns 9, home at 10 in a kind of a, you know, not recent form, but just kind of overall, this is their skill set. And how do they match up? So I think that's kind of interesting on this place and where that is now. Look, now we're starting to get into these longer shots and it's been tough in pro golf, like to hit one of these here as we start getting outside of 50. And, you know, now we get into the Maverick McNeelys at 65 and the Corey Connors and the Bezaden Huts and the Brian Harman and Andrew Putnam, who's playing really good golf at 65.
He is.
I mean, I could probably, if I had to go with that group, I'd go Harman.
Just because he can manage himself around this course, you think? Because it plays long, but like he's going to get the benefit of, he plays well at Augusta, right? Like this could have some of that too, where you have that short runoffs and like he gets the added bonus of the long, you know, the fast, firm and fast stuff. So
I think so. Yeah. I think Harman, it feels, you know, he's a, like, he, you know, Bermuda guy, right?
Yep.
And I think you look at recent form here. I think his iron game has been really good. His driver's been okay. I don't worry about a short game. You know, he's magic and his putting's been okay. So I think Harman's a really solid top 20 play in this, but if I had to say, look, let's give me one of those out of that group to win, I probably would give you Harman in the 65 range on this course, assuming that it's the ball's bouncing a little bit, which I think it will be.
Yeah. You think it's going to play even more firm and fast than it did back in June?
I think so. It's what it sounds like. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. I hope it does. I hope it does.
So that brings the Harmans of the world back probably into the mix a little bit too, right? Where you don't have to feel like you need to go to the Cam Young side of things or, you know, guys that can absolutely maul the ball. So yeah, that's an interesting look. Because I said at the top, I just don't think that there's a ton of win equity down the board because there are so many really good guys.
We don't have
the benefit of the cut even for these guys. You can see, we saw it with Xander last week. Like he just get off to a little bit of a, you know, middling start, but let him hang around and all of a sudden, you know, Saturday we're through 54 holes and there he is in the top five. Like you can't let these guys hang around. The one shot I took down the board is Cam Davis.
Okay.
At 80.
I played it too.
I mean, so didn't win, but came second to Jordan at Harbortown. So, you know, likes this Bermuda. And I know Harbortown is a very different track for a number of reasons. But again, the familiarity of the Bermuda. I like how he played at the President's Cup. He drove the absolute snot out of the ball. And that could play really well here. Again, we have, you know, pretty good long approach play, right? 200 plus, par five scoring. He's tremendous. You don't get a lot of short approach shots here. with the wedges, but because you do have these runoffs, he's really, really good with his short wedges too. So like, I don't know, that doesn't come into play a ton, but I think he's going to be able to give himself some scoring looks here. So just going to be a guy that I continue to bet this season, that I think makes that ascension into the next step of guys this season. I think those things, like we talked about, narrative based, the President's Cup thing, I think is going to help these guys feel like,
oh, sure,
I belong. And I kind of see myself, you know, in that tier of guy. So I've been on Davis so far in the swing season, and I thought 80 was a bad number. It's still out there on MGM. I think 65 on DraftKings. There's some even 60s on him. So, yeah, I think Cam Davis is just a bell I'm going to ring quite often this season. And it's kind of as far down on the board as I'm comfortable going from a win standpoint.
Well, let's go back to the same metrics that I just mentioned when I took the, you know, the macro 100. Now let's go inside. Let's go last 24 rounds. Cameron Davis is third.
Yeah. Short-term form is nice.
So
yeah,
short-term form, same metrics that we're kind of all talking about here, all these things that we like. He's third. Rory's first. I mean, there's Sungjae at two, and then Cameron three. And if you're looking for some form coming in based off these metrics, Brandon Steele, who's been playing well, checks out good. Trey Mullinex checks out pretty solid. We know Griot's playing some good golf. Griot has seemed to find his putter as of late. So, you know, now we're starting to get into these long shots, and even, you know, maybe you don't play him to win, but you're looking at, okay, well, give me someone that maybe I want to play to win, or maybe, you know, some top 20 kind of action. I think Davis, you got to look at for sure. I think that's one you got to look at. And I think with these conditions, I would probably throw Hoagie in there too. Hoagie's been good to me.
Yeah.
He's been playing some pretty good golf. Same with Stallings. I think he's been playing some pretty good golf. I'm not completely ready to jump back on the Ricky Fowler bandwagon. I know he had a very nice week last week, finishing second. I know he's back with Butch. Hallelujah. I mean, why in the world he ever left, no one will know. But look, I mean, Ricky's got to feel as confident as he has in a while. I don't know. I'm not gonna play anything, you know, on Ricky this week. I'm not gonna play anything on Jason Day as they're into the 80s. JT Poston 80, Noren 80, Hadwin, Fleetwood, Siwoo Kim's all the way down here. Can you stretch a top 20 anywhere in here that you would like on a place like this? Sepp Straka, Cooch, Inglis, McCarthy. As we get into the 100-to-1s, Davis Riley is struggling. All of a sudden here at 100-to-1. Kitayama, 130.
Yeah.
Could you go there for a top 20 maybe?
I don't hate the Kitayama play, and a couple other guys that I really like that you mentioned. First is Trey Mullinex.
Yeah,
I can't get there on the win right in this field, but like this place can play. They can do a lot of things here, but this place can stretch out. Right. They can, I think on the fourth round of the Palmetto, they had it down to like 7,300, which is still not a short par 71, but they could stretch it out to 76. And we know that Mullinex can bomb it again. Southeast guy, we know, and he's been played well at the tail end of the season. It's just another guy that I kind of like to go to often. So I don't think he is winning this, but they think he's way down there. So you can get into finishing position bets, maybe in some matchups against some other guys down here, if they populate any of those, no problem with that. The other one is Sepp Straka. I was on Straka last week. I thought it was a great play. The irons have been tremendous,
yeah,
really, ever since FedEx, where he almost stole it from Willie. But like, the putter can get really red hot again. Georgia guy, we know he likes to be down in the southeast, so I have no problem going back to the well on Sepp. Just kind of think one bad round of the Zozo, otherwise played okay, and got himself in the mix and had a decent weekend. So Sepp and Mullinex are my favorite down there. But as you mentioned, I think Stallings, everything from like a ball striking standpoint, has been really good for a while now. And I think that there's something to it. And again, you know, if you want to go bomber, Kurt Kitayama, I think, makes a lot of sense too. And I think he's a pretty decent lag putter as well. So no problem with that. I think those things are going to matter. I'm with you on the Ricky thing. It's fun to watch. I want to see him get back into it. I'm going to do that from with money in my pockets and continue to cheer for him to do it. And hope that we maybe get some nice spots once the season gets started. I'm not going to chase the shorter numbers, because, you know, he's kind of, I think, in the mix of these guys that are down there, but his price is like 50, 60. You know, you're basically paying for what we saw last week. And I'm not ready to do that quite yet on Ricky, but I'm hoping that we see it.
Yeah, I think Sepp's a really good play here as well. I agree with that. I like Hoagie and Sepp down here. I really like Sepp a little more. You know, we saw him win the Honda, but he just played great golf. You know, he won RBC, or I'm sorry, he finished third at RBC. You know, and then it was a tough summer. You know, he had a tough stretch there. I think he missed six cuts in a row.
Yeah.
And then he comes back for the playoffs and it's like, okay, second at FedEx, 28th at BMW, seventh at the Tour Championship. Sepp Straka, folks, finished seventh at the Tour Championship.
Mm-hmm. And kept it going in the start of the swing season.
Second at Sanderson Farms.
Didn't
play great at Zozo. It's interesting.
Yeah, and it's been approach and putting, and now we're back on his most familiar, comfortable putting surface. I think
he won the Honda at 10 under, right?
That was painful. I had Lowry. I think I had Lowry and Berger, who were both in the mix there, and then that like wind rainstorm that jacked up Lowry at the end was a tough concept. Yeah.
I like Sepp. I like Sepp. I think we're kind of tracking the same here on the bottom in some of these. I mean, Kitayama obviously has the length. If you want to go all the way down there to 130-1. But then in this 80 range, Sepp at 80, I think is a really good play. Stallings at 80, Hoagie at 70, Davis at 70. Those are some names, 70 and 80, that feel like they could be very competitive here. I'm going to move away from Mito. I almost got him there to the finish line. I thought Mito was going to win one this year. He's been close. He's been so close.
I backed him last week. The irons have been tremendous.
Yes.
And then he just, that second round, he just went off the rails. No one else played as poorly. I mean, he was like six over after really good, like, you know, top of the leaderboard, first page of the leaderboard after round one, and then just nothing on Fridays.
Yeah, you got to watch. If you ever go to a tournament, just stop and watch Mito hit irons. I mean, it's wow. I mean, it's amazing. Really is what it is. Yeah, he something happened there on the weekend. I'm gonna pass on Mito here this week. So all right, there's some names to consider as you. What a field! This is gonna be great.
It's gonna be great. Open field, unique golf course. Like we're back into like normal time. Yeah, it's a great place. I'd love for them to incorporate this place because it is so different than the rest of the stuff that we see. Again, there's a lot of variety when we're dealing with stuff all over the world and all over the country, but like. It just does feel like you're dropped in the middle of the Australian outback in
kind
of a unique place.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's you're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're right smack there in the middle of nowhere. Getting people out there is going to be a challenge, but it shows well on TV. I like watching this course on TV and we got a great field. CJ Cup, Ryan Noonan, follow him at Ryan Noonan on Twitter. Betsperts. Appreciate your time, man. Good stuff.
Thanks, Travis. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
PXG has done it again with the launch of a new lineup of drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. The new Gen 5 golf clubs deliver significantly increased MOI, faster ball speeds, longer distances, and tighter dispersions, all coupled with the exceptional feel and sound golfers have come to expect from PXG. Schedule your custom fitting or buy online at pxg.com.